Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our journey through the Epistle of Jude, and today I want to see what Jude meant when he pronounced an everlasting and eternal condemnation upon the heretics who bring in false doctrine and ungodly teaching into the house of God. So let's read verse 11 of Jude again together. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong into the air of Balaam and perished in the rebellion of Korah. Now, we've been studying the air of Balaam for quite some time now, so we can see what Jude was warning us about. Now, the issue of money is so important, and the right and proper ways to handle money are so important, that once again, I want to commend to you the most biblical and thorough study on money that I have ever personally seen. It is a DVD study from Word Pictures called The Good Steward. We went through this study in our church a few years ago on Thursday nights, and it revolutionized our entire church. If you would like more information on this study, write or call me, and I will tell you how to get a copy for yourself. Now, we've explored many things about how what God says about money in the Bible is so vastly different than what the modern doctrine of prosperity teaches. And I want to continue this today by looking at what the Apostle James said about money. Now, James's apostolic teaching on money and wealth is light years apart from what we learn here in America. And sadly, it is light years apart from what we hear in many of our churches today. First of all, James said that riches were not permanent, but that they were very fleeting. Let's look at James 1, 9 through 11. But the brother of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position, and the rich man is to glory in his humiliation, because like flowering grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flower falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away. The Apostle James also taught that for the most part, wealthy people do not serve God, and that wealthy people, for the most part, are the very ones who fight against those who do serve God. So not only are the overwhelming majority of most wealthy people not saved, but wealthy people are also not the biblical example that we should follow after. Let's read James 2, 5 through 7. Listen, my beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Is it not the rich who oppress you and personally drag you into court? Do they not blaspheme the fair name by which you have been called? James also wrote down some very harsh words to those who were wealthy and who persecuted the church and God's people in James chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries which are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted and your garments have become moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver have rusted, and their rust will be a witness against you and will consume your flesh like fire. It is in the last days that you have stored up your treasure. Behold, the pay of the laborers who mowed your fields and which has been withheld by you cries out against you, and the outcry of those who did the harvesting has reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived luxuriously on the earth and led a life of wanton pleasure. You have fattened your hearts in the day of slaughter, and you have condemned and put to death the righteous man. He does not resist you. Now, I fully realize that God is not condemning all wealthy people here. I have met some very godly people who love Jesus and who are wealthy. So, of course, there are exceptions to this rule, but nevertheless, God the Holy Spirit inspired James to write these words to us, and they should serve as part of our teaching on money and the heir of Balaam. So, all that I have said during these broadcasts, there are 9 things that we need to remember. Number one, for the most part, everything that we have learned about money from our consumer-driven culture is ungodly and unbiblical. Number two, much teaching about money in the modern church is based on what the world teaches and therefore is not what God's Word teaches. Number three, it is very hard today to find anyone who is actually putting biblical principles about money into their daily practice. Number four, money is one of the most intoxicating things that Satan uses to deceive us and to warp our relationship with God. Number five, there are people within the Church of Jesus Christ today who, for pay, are rushing headlong into the era of Balaam. And sadly, these people are very prominent, very popular, and very influential, even though what they teach is very wrong. Number six, the majority of the modern doctrine of prosperity that is so popular today is sinful because it promotes discontent and greed and covetousness in God's people and does not honor God. Number seven, God's biblical plan for financial prosperity is not easy and it is not quick. It involves hard work, diligence, discernment, and taking responsibility over an entire lifetime of making mistakes and learning from them. Number eight, everything that we know about money that is wrong and unbiblical, and everything that we are doing with our money that is not pleasing to God, and every way that we view money that is unholy, can be fixed if we are willing to repent and go God's way. Number nine, finally, there are some resources available that will give you sound, solid, biblical teaching about what God says about money. Now, you have heard me about this issue. Let's go into church history and see if what I am saying is more in line with what the Christian church has always taught about this issue than what the modern doctrine of prosperity teaches. Thomas Manton was a Puritan who lived in the 17th century. God used this man greatly, and he was one of those men who penned down one of the greatest confessions of faith that the church has ever had, and that is the Westminster Confession of Faith. Manton said this about the era of Balaam back in 1662, quote, "People are usually drawn into error by the bait of gain and worldly profit," unquote. Manton then quoted both Peter and Paul to back up what he just said from 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be maligned. And in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep." And over in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, Paul said, "For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." Manton then went on to say, quote, "While we know that the love of money is the root of all evil, we must also know that the same love of money is also the root of heresies and sect-making. Balaam had many good gifts. God is said to have put words into his mouth. Balaam asked for God's guidance, but was loath to follow it, and covetousness eventually took over his heart," unquote. And John Calvin echoed the words of Manton when he said, quote, "Jude says they will be deceived like Balaam by a reward because they adulterated the doctrine of true religion for the sake of filthy lucre," unquote. And Pastor John MacArthur writes this about the era of Balaam, quote, "Unlike true shepherds who give their lives for the sheep, these ministry mercenaries follow the Arab Balaam, rushing headlong into envy and greed. As a prophet for hire, Balaam is a prime illustration of false teachers, those who love wealth and prestige more than faithfulness and obedience," unquote. Now, I want you to also notice that when Jude wrote this, he used the term "rushed headlong" to describe how the false teachers fell into the error of Balaam. Now, the Greek phrase that Jude used here is ekeo, which means to pour out, to run out, to shed, to spill, to gush out, and is used several times in the Bible. For example, Ekeo is used in Matthew 9:17, where it says, the wine runs out. It's used in Mark 2:22, where it says, the new wine will burst the bottles and the wine is spilled. It's used in Acts 2:17, where it says, I will pour out of my spirit. It's used in Romans 3:15, their feet are swift to shed innocent blood. Revelation 16:4, the third angel poured out his vial. So Jude is saying that the deceiver is ekeo after the error of Balaam. In other words, they are totally given over to this evil. They pour out their souls into the error of Balaam without reservation. They spill their soul into the error of Balaam for pay with full passion. Now, one of the biggest reasons why the modern doctrine of prosperity is so wrong is because it breeds discontent in God's people. We are told that evil men, not godly men, but evil men, bring confusion and discontent into the body of Jesus Christ. So when you are being taught that financial prosperity is a sign of God's favor, and yet you yourself are struggling financially, then not only do you have the financial problem going on in your life, but now you have reason to be concerned whether or not you are really saved, because you've been taught all your life that Christians are supposed to be wealthy. Now, we may want that new house or that new car, and maybe it's not sinful, but nevertheless, God's will is different from your will, and God wants you to stay in your trailer, and God wants you to keep that old car that is paid for, but because we were taught that God wants us to always have nice new things all the time, it makes that trailer to appear to be a curse in your eyes rather than a blessing, and it makes that old car that runs just fine to appear to be a curse because your neighbor is driving a nice new car. So because of that false teaching, your heart is no longer grateful and thankful for what God has provided for you. But you feel slighted. You feel you deserve something better. Beloved, these feelings are carnal. They are sinful, lustful human emotions that Scripture teaches are based in a heart that is filled with discontent and ungratefulness. So the unbiblical modern teaching of prosperity that says that God always wants you to have the latest and greatest toy, instead of learning the glory and the power of being content with what God has already chosen to provide for you, has promoted discontent in your heart. And we now look at God's provision as not being good enough. And that, my beloved, is a sin. So this new unscriptural teaching has not built you up at all. In reality, it has led you into sin. These promoters of this doctrine have not lifted you out of the pit. They have dug the hole deeper. You see, dear friends, one of the greatest gifts that we can ever possess as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ is the gift of contentment. And godly contentment is hardly ever taught or promoted anymore in the modern church. Beloved, I have endeavored to show you the very heart of Jude in this passage so that you may exercise spiritual discernment over those in the church who are running for pay after the error of Balaam for reward. Please be careful about this, and may the Lord grant you eyes to see and ears to hear. I tell you, we're living in great and glorious times. We are living in a day when we are watching many last time events come to pass. But we are also living in the day when people will not be able to endure sound doctrine and will be deceived and will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and when men shall be turned from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. This is why we all need to walk in wisdom and earnestly contend for the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. Well, I've got to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, may the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.